Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, March 4th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, you and I, first show we've done together in a little bit since I was out on Wednesday and you were out on Thursday. But we are back and better than ever to start the first full week of March. Lots of fun and exciting things happening across the theatrical landscape. And we, of course, will bring them all to you here on Broadway Radio, both in the regular feed and over at patreon.com/Broadway Radio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. As we are recording, there are a number of things that are wrapping up their Broadway or New York runs, at least for now, on Sunday. The first one that we don't know of any other plans for it to come back anytime in the near future, but Joshua Harmon's play Prayer for the French Republic ended its extended run from the Manhattan Theater Club on Broadway. Also on Broadway, we had the end of the second stage run of Appropriate, which closed at the Helen Hayes Theater on Sunday. That will be coming back for a commercial transfer later this month on March 25th over at the Belasco Theater. And then also something that I think might come back, question mark, Jelly's Last Jam over at New York City Center. Grace, you talked about how much you loved that. You said it was the best thing you'd ever seen in encores. I talked with our friend Ashley Steves on Friday. She pretty much said the exact same thing. So I have not heard anything about it coming back, but the reviews were so incredible that I would not be surprised if it did try to mount some sort of transfer. What would your, having seen it and loved it, what are your thoughts on potentially bringing that to a commercial stage on Broadway in the near future?
Just don't. Or do. Maybe that's like my cynical little heart. Because I think that what also worked to its advantage was this celebration, which is what I think that the heart of encores should and is that like it is a like put together quickly, but with a lot of love and intention, concert styling version of a show. I think it's challenging to charge Broadway prices for a concert. Now, there's some merit to that. I understand that there have been concerts in the past where people were like, this is the only time I'll get to see like Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters do this thing this way, right? Like, I understand that there are special occurrences, right? But a backdrop, and then that's it. Kind of like, I just feel it feels kind of icky sometimes, especially when a lot of shows are, you know, trying their hardest to kind of do everything and all the things, and budgets are crazy. So I don't know. But I think that the more opportunities that they would, you know what I would love? I would love if this was at like the Kennedy Center, if like the Kennedy Center did 3 weeks of this, you know, and really paid out the butt for it. And then it was a really great celebration captured for PBS and then it gets run. You know, I think that that type of that thing is what I'd love to see for that show. It is the best encore show that I've ever seen. And every person that I have said that to, they were like, really, really, really? And then I'll get a text as soon as they walk out the door and they go, you were right. It was, they loved it. So, and the way it's been celebrated by all communities has been monumental. You know, Black history does not just belong in February. And I think that this show could be done at any time. It's excellent. It's beautiful stuff. I just can't shut up about it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the fact that encores should be a celebration. And on Friday and then over the weekend, we got some news about a celebration that took some interesting turns. On Friday, it was announced that a handful, but not all, of the Broadway theaters would dim their lights on March 12th in the memory of three-time Tony Award-winning actor Hinton Battle, who passed away at the end of January. I'm not going to run down the individual theaters because it doesn't matter at this point, which we'll get to in a second, but it was basically one house from every company that owns a theater on Broadway, including Circle in the Square, Second Stage, Roundabout, Lincoln Center, the New York City Theater that Disney kind of uses, even though it's owned by New York City, and then the Schuberts, Niederlanders, and Drew Jampson. That was the wrong decision. And, you know, I stood up, Grace, for the, at least the Broadway League, because it technically is only the decision of like the theater owners themselves, about giving them time to get the details out, because oftentimes that includes other people. That was the wrong answer, because it's not like some theaters said, well, we're going to do it because he played here. That still would have been the wrong answer, but at least you could blame it on individual theater owners not being involved with it. But this was a decision by all of the theater owners to dim the lights of one house per organization for 1 minute at 6:45 on March 12th. social media rightly was not having that. And they responded by going after the Broadway League and by extension, the Committee of Theater Owners. And it was very quickly turned around that it would be, in fact, every theater on Broadway. The interim president of the Broadway League, Jason Lax, said in a statement that came on Saturday, quote, after further consultation among the Committee of Theater Owners and reflecting on the impact of Hinton Battle, the committee has shared with his family that all Broadway theaters will dim their lights in his honor on March 12, 2024 at 6:45 p.m. for 1 minute. As we continue to remember Mr. Battle's remarkable talent an array of roles, the decision was made to dim all lights as the most appropriate way to recognize his legacy on Broadway and within our community. No shit. Like, Grace, I just don't have any explanation as to why this was such a hard decision in the first place. The argument in the past has always been, well, we don't want to dim the lights for everybody because then it becomes less special. Or this person didn't rise to the level of a Che Rivera, who obviously died on the same day as Hinton Battle. So we're just going to do some of the lights. Who cares? If you're going to dim the lights for everybody, I don't care. There's no reason that we should be selective and gatekeepy about who the community celebrates and who Broadway remembers. If you're going to do it at all, do it everywhere. And I think they should be far more open about dimming the lights than they are. It's just another misstep by a group of people that are so out of touch with their audience and their community. And it just angers me. I'm glad they got it right in the end. I mean, I'm a big believer in there's never a wrong time to do the right thing, but it's just absurd that it took a social media outcry, the second one when it comes to Hinton Battle's light dimming, for them to actually get this right. So I don't know if I'm missing something. Maybe there's another layer of this that I don't understand, but this is ludicrous. It was ludicrous that it had to come to this, Grace.
You know, yes, and I feel like there is something else. And of course, here I am coming to say, like, I've got nothing for you, but I wish that there was something else that we could do that really marks a memory of a person, because I think that for performers, especially, they get that spotlight, right? But there are monumental theater makers, producers, directors, lyricists, writers, you know, the list goes on and on. Stagehand. I mean, like, it literally, there's so many people that make Broadway happen, and probably people that have been on 60 Broadway shows, you know, that we don't celebrate in this capacity. So I think that it unfortunately becomes this like popularity contest, as all things are. And I just wonder if there are other ways that we can honor people's legacies in a really profound, monumental, like entire celebration of the community that you don't have to get. I mean, everything has to have approval. We have a society of theater that is under union rules for a lot of good reasons. But I think that there has to be something additional that we can maybe create that creates moments like this that don't require so much heartache and the possibility of, you know, systemic racism and things like that. Like, I hope that there are other ways that we can honor people's legacies. And Hinton Battle is just one of the most, like, it's exhausting, but also I'm so glad that his family will get to have this moment.
I hear you, because I have often said that, like, when it comes to naming Broadway theaters, as much as I love James Earl Jones and Lena Horne, who are the two most recent ones, and I think maybe they are a little different because they were such groundbreaking Black performers. But just in general, like, I don't think we need to have theaters named after performers. I don't think we need to have theaters named after writers either, because those are names that will continue to live on. Like, the Richard Rodgers is great, but like, musical theater is never going to forget Richard Rodgers. His impact on musical theater and the art form in general is never going to be forgotten. I completely believe that if you're going to rename theaters, Todd Hames, those are the types of people, because otherwise it is very easy for people like Todd Hames to be forgotten, or someone like Brooks Atkinson, or people like that, because those are the things that get lost to history because they're not what we are really talking about on a regular basis. So I agree, there should be more opportunities to celebrate the people who have been lost. But I think when this is the form that the Broadway League and the Committee of Theater Owners has settled on, that the red tape and the gatekeeping of it is a more of a negative than it is a positive, and they need to really look internally. Hopefully that happens under the new president of the Broadway League and really figure out what this is for and who it's for. And rather than just about flexing their muscle about who gets the honor and who doesn't. Speaking of things that are aggravating and rooted deeply in racism, Grace, last week, the upcoming London run of Slave Play announced that it would have two nights during its run in which it would have what they called blackout performances. This is something that they also did on Broadway, and it also got a decent amount of pushback. But it was raised to another level when the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Rishi Sunak, said in a statement through his spokesperson, quote, "The Prime Minister is a big supporter of the arts, and he believes that the arts should be inclusive and open to everyone, particularly where those arts venues are in receipt of public funding." Now, like, from a political standpoint, like, I get this part of the statement. I disagree with it, but I at least get where he's coming from. Yes, the arts should be inclusive. They should be open to everyone. And when venues get money from the government has a right to kind of be involved with that. But the next part of this statement is what concerns me the most. The statement went on and said, quote, "Obviously, these reports are concerning and further information is being sought, but clearly restricting audiences on the basis of race would be wrong and divisive." Now, what these blackout nights are for, on Broadway, as they will in the West End, they are not meant to only allow black people into the theater, although that is something that I don't think would be necessarily against the desires of Jeremy O. Harris and the producers by doing these, but they are open to everyone. They're not going to be asking you to verify your race and ethnicity when you purchase tickets online. But that has kind of been what everybody is pushing when they are discussing this. And that's what's led to the statement from the Prime Minister. The production followed up and said, quote, "We want to increase accessibility to theater for everyone. The Broadway production conceived of blackout nights, and we are carefully considering how to incorporate this endeavor as part of two performances in our 13-week run. We will release further details soon. To be absolutely clear, no one will be prevented or precluded from attending any performance of Slave Play." And then playwright Jeremy O. Harris responded to somebody named Lucy, who said, "You are racist against white people. Imagine if the rules were reversed. Shame on you." Jeremy O. Harris, in his own way, as he often does, replied, "I don't have to imagine the rules were reversed in my grandparents' lifetimes and worse. I'm not saying blacks only. I'm saying I'm inviting black people first. They can bring their white friends or lovers if they want. There's no color bar, but one existed in the UK recently." And then he posts a bunch of Wikipedia pages about color barriers in the UK going back to the 1950s and 60s and all the way up through at least the 1990s. So again, Grace, to me, this is just another thing. Like, I understand where the Prime Minister would think this. I don't think this rises to something of the level that the Prime Minister needs to speak on. I'm not an expert on British politics. I'm not an expert on American politics necessarily, but I just don't understand why, other than the sheer unabated racism that pervades most public spaces in this world, that this has become such an issue. And it's really unfortunate, because when Jeremy O'Harris's other play Daddy played London, they had blackout nights. When Tambo and Bones, which played off Broadway and then went over to London, they also had blackout nights. So this isn't new. I think for whatever reason, this show just is such a lightning rod, and it has been from the very beginning, that it pisses people off more than normal. So it's unfortunate. I'm sure they're going to continue to go on with these. They're scheduled currently for July 17th and September 17th. So we will see what happens. One thing to wrap this up, I will say that Slave Play is playing at the Noel Coward Theater, which is privately owned. So I don't know if they do get some sort of tax breaks or something from the British government, but it is not a publicly government owned theater. And I don't believe it's even like the UK equivalent of a not-for-profit theater either. So just throwing that out there for whatever context we need for the PM's comments. All right, Grace, let's talk about our sponsor for this week, Factor. Grace, one of the things that I've learned over the last few years especially is that there's a difference between eating foods that taste good and eating foods that are good. And while you can sit there and shovel down as much stuff as you want that tastes good in the moment, it's not always good for you, long term especially. That is why I love Factor's meals so much. They are ready to eat, they are delicious, but they are also dietitian approved and good for you. You can select from over 35 different meals every week and from different categories like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, all of these different things that allow you to customize them for your diet specifically. Almost all of them come with some sort of protein, but with vegetables as well. They are absolutely delicious. They are quick. And I know when I eat them that I'm going to have something that not only tastes good, but is good for me as well.
Yeah. So last night I had a dinner and it was like a cocktail, an appetizer and fries, and then another entree. The total for this dinner that was like fine, it was more than 14 Factor meals. So I just want to say, Factor meals is literally my favorite thing. I went home immediately and ordered my next set of meals with our code because I was like, I can't do this anymore. Factor meals are so fast and easy. They're 2 minutes. You literally pop them out of the fridge, you pop them into the microwave, and you're like, okay, fine. I actually have a delicious meal in my hands. It's so quick and easy, especially with this crazy, crazy season. I'm going to have to live off of these guys and look forward to a lot of orders from me, Factor.
So head to factormeals.com/Broadway50 and use code Broadway50 to get 50% off. That's code Broadway50 at factormeals.com/Broadway50 to get 50% off. All right, Grace, we're going to run through this week's theatrical schedule fairly quickly. It doesn't start until the back half of the week, really, when we have the official opening night on Broadway of The Revival of Doubt happening at the newly named and aforementioned Todd Haymes Theater. They had pushed back the opening night because of the transition from the great Tyne Daly to Amy Ryan in the role of Sister Aloysius. They still had their red carpet opening night last week, so if you're confused, it's like, oh, I thought it opened last week. This is why. But the show was originally written by John Patrick Shanley and is directed by Scott Ellis for this production. In addition to Amy Ryan taking over the role of Sister Aloysius early in previews, the show also features Liev Schreiber, Quincy Tyler Bernstein, and Zoe Kazan. This show is currently scheduled to run through April 14th. Then off-Broadway on Thursday night, we have another opening. This one is actually happening at St. George's Episcopal Church. It is a run from the Sea Dog Theater, and it is the play Tuesdays with Maury, written by Jeffrey Hatcher and Mitch Albom, based on the book by Albom of the same name. It will star the iconic Tony Award winner Lynn Cario and Chris Domig. This is a show that is currently scheduled to run through the 23rd. Then on Friday, we have our next Broadway show joining the boards, and this is the revival of The Who's Tommy over at the Nederlander Theater. It is directed as it was in its original Broadway run by Des McAnuff. It is choreographed by Lauren Lataro, and it features obviously all of the iconic songs from The Who's Tommy album, and the cast is tremendous. Leading the show in the title role in his Broadway debut will be Ali Luis Borzgui. Also in the principal company will be Bobby Conti, John Ambrosino, Adam Jacobs, Allison Luff, and Christina Saju. Then on Saturday, we have a pair of off-Broadway closings. First, I Love You So Much I Could Die from the New York Theater Workshop, and then The White Chip, which is playing at MCC, but is actually a commercial run. Then we go to Sunday. We have the opening night for the new musical Dead Outlaw happening over at the Minetta Lane Theater from Audible Theater. This is the new musical with music and lyrics by David Yazbek and Eric Della Penna and a book by Itamar Moses. It is directed by David Cromer. Has a great cast, including Jeb Brown, Eddie Cooper, Andrew Durand, Dashiell Eves, Julia Nettle, Ken Marks, Trent Saunders, Tom Sesma, and more. Then on Sunday, we have two other off-Broadway closings, both things I saw on my trip last month, Jonah from the Roundabout Theater Company and Sunset Baby from Signature Theater. We will have information about all of those shows in the show notes. One little bit of news before we get into our recommendation and we wrap up, Grace. The parody musical 5 has extended off-Broadway at Theater 555. It was originally scheduled to close on March 10th. It will now be sticking around for, I'm guessing not coincidentally enough, 5 more weeks. It will now run through April 21st. And finally, Grace, my recommendation is something that, and you don't know this, it's something that you posted. It was a video of the incredible box office opening for Hell's Kitchen, what you did is you went through and highlighted every person that worked on this event, whether it was from AKA, whether it was from Alicia Keys' team, whatever. And you talked about how it essentially takes a village to do anything on Broadway, but especially for an event such like this. I posted on social media, like, it honestly made me tear up, that, you know, kind of seeing all of these people working together on this. But I thought it was a great reminder of what it actually takes to do any of these things that we talk about and that we love. And so I wanted to point people to that. It is on your Instagram, but if there's anything else you want to share about it, please do.
Oh, that, Matt, that's so sweet. Yeah, you know, that was even like the tip of the iceberg for that event. And most people just see like Alicia Keys open the box office and it's like 30-second read, right? Or like if you're there, you know, you're either in the cold waiting or like it's like a 20-minute thing and then all said and done, right? But like knowing what people do to make some of those things happen is crazy monumental, especially when you kind of learn, for better or worse, that like that was secured within 48 hours, getting a whole bus wrap, things like that. When people like come together and make something like that, it's not just time, it's effort, it's money, but it's also creativity and getting on the phone. And there's just, I hope to do more of that if people will allow it. I think if people knew, they'd have a little bit more compassion on some opportunities, because this was it was really cool, but it was also hard and exciting. And I just hope the more opportunities that we have to communicate that it does take a village, I feel like the transparency is really, really helpful. And also, if people are aspiring to be in a space where they are on a team like that or in a marketing agency or something, you know, just knowing that everyone does end up working together in some capacity, whether you're sitting behind a computer doing graphic design or you're securing media with someone or you're, you know, with the tourism bus industry, like it doesn't matter. Everyone's going to help. So it was really magical. But thanks, Matt. I'm glad that you liked it.
I did very much. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Reading. You can follow me on Instagram at BWWMattGrace. Where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.